course, local golfer who is a caddy on the PGA Tour for Canadian Corey Connors. They're into the final weekend of the golf playoffs. D. Saul, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's good to catch up with you again. Now, because you were caddying with Vijay for quite a few years on the senior tour. So is this your first time kind of involved in the golf playoff format that they've got going on the PGA?
Yes, actually, it's my very first playoffs. So I have my very first playoff beer going on.
Nice. Now, how different do you sense it? How different is the playoffs? Is it more intense? Is it kind of like other sports or golf, which is, you know, at least on the outside, looks a little bit calmer? Or do you sense a noticeable difference in the play?
I mean, going into the playoffs, guys that were kind of trying to keep, you know, advancing, they were feeling more pressure than, you know, Corey. Corey was hitting 27th, I believe, at the time, entering the playoffs. And where his number was, you know, we had to have at least one decent finish. So, yeah, I mean, there was pressure there, but we just knew if he just played the way he did and didn't need to do anything special, that, you know, there was a cut the first tournament. So that's basically, if you make the cut, we were basically into the finals. And then, because the next week there was no cut. So, I mean, everybody had a little bit different scenario. So, yeah, they were probably thinking about it.
So now you're down to 30, right? And the first of all, do the guys like the format? You know, Cantlay starts, he's minus 10. He has a two-stroke lead over second, three-stroke lead over third, fourth and fifth, and then drops down to fourth, et cetera, all the way down to maybe 10-stroke lead. Is that good or is it too much of an advantage to have anywhere from 5 to 10-stroke lead, or does that make the all the other tournaments more valuable in your eyes?
I believe, I'm not sure about this format yet. Obviously, this is my first. You know, Corey finished as 21 right now, and we are 9 shots behind the lead. So, you know, I mean, and we're in that category where 21 through, I think, believe 26 or 27. Are at minus one for the tournament, and then it goes to even. So I don't know if it was the back end is very fair. Obviously, Cantlay's playing the best, and I would say maybe a 5-shot lead would be, you know, where it would start. Anyways, that's my opinion. And it's in the past, I think it didn't bring that much excitement because there was like a guy might have already won the FedEx Cup. And then there's the Tour Championship. Now, this year, everything's kind of tied in together, like the purse of the tournament, the FedEx Cup. So me being a caddy, you know, you're thinking about, all right, you know, where do we go here? So there's a lot of drama and a lot of excitement going in for sure.
Danny Saul joins us. So you look at the season you guys have had together. Now, John Rahm has the most top 10 finishes. He's at 14. And he's the only guy in double digits. Then Jordan Spieth has 9. And then there's Corey Connors and, you know, Dustin Johnson and Louis Oosthuizen and a host of other guys answer at 8. Like, you guys you've been in the running a lot this season. Can you kind of, you know, what have you liked about this year, you know, from a guy who's on the bag of Connors? What have you seen? Because, you know, 8 top 10 finishes, third most on the tour, that's pretty consistent.
I mean, the guy is the most consistent player I've ever been around. His work ethic is the same every week. You know, when I started with him in January, the golf swing has not changed one bit. His tempo has remained the same the entire time. He's just the most reliable, predictable player I've ever met. And I don't, you know, 8 top 10s, and we had a couple good chances, you know, in the majors. And that's where I think with his consistent ball striking, that's why he's doing top tens. You know, that's going to take him a long way.
What do you guys discuss, you know, because you're close and it's really hard to win, right? Like you can play a really good tournament and lose by a stroke, right? It's kind of sucks. That's what makes golf so exciting, but also probably so nerve-wracking at the same time. Do you guys have the in-season discussion or will it be at the end of the year when you recap the whole year and say, okay, this is what we liked. What do you think we got to improve on to win?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, his coach, Derek Ingram, we'll all discuss kind of at the year end when we're done this playoffs. And, I mean, Corey's not going to have too many tournaments this fall. So, we'll have some time to think about what we can improve on and go from there. So, yeah, for sure, it'll be exciting to think about. And because he's right there, man. He's right there to peak. So it just it can happen any week.
Now, why is he not going to have a lot of tournaments this fall?
A couple things. He's expecting. Him and his wife are expecting. So
awesome.
In November. And then so he'll take a few weeks off after the FedEx Cup. And then he'll play two events this fall and then possibly one in December. So it'll be a light fall schedule for him, which is fine. And then starting January again, it'll be, I mean, he's played 30 tournaments this year. This will be his 30th tournament. So the guy plays a lot. So it's nice to be able to just take the rest of this fall off.
Now, this year in golf, something that we haven't really seen, like a pretty spirited rivalry, Koepka, DeChambeau, you know, they've been pretty vocal back and forth with one another. Have you noticed that? Like, how has that been, you know, does the tour like it, the players? Because it just, you know, there's a rivalry, like a legit one. It's two pretty good players, and they clearly don't like each other. Well, where's your vantage point on that one? What do you make of that? It's kind of, you know, we don't see that in golf, at least outwardly as often.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't see it between, you know, our peers here, like on the golf, you know, on the course or on the driving range, putting. I don't see any of that stuff, really. And I think it's more the media, and it's just, you know, that part of it, I think that's really blown out of proportion. And I think, you know, there's the commissioners came out with some stuff and, you know, we got to all conduct ourselves, you know, we play golf and it's just something that it's just part of the etiquette that we kind of grew up doing. So I don't know. It's the fan base is a little bit different as, you know, going to an Oilers game or a football game. So I just think it's, I mean, I know for one example, last week there was a guy that, you know, we had to tell him this, hey, well, you got one more chance or you're out. He's just getting a little obnoxious, you know, drinking on the course, you're close to the players. I think there's just a lot of stuff that, you know, they just kind of want to get rid of for sure.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. Overall, because you've been caddying on, you know, pro PGA and, you know, the senior tour for a long time, has the last few years has because, you know, they see, you know, DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka and Brooks Koepka in interviews, like he hasn't been shy to throw a few little chirping barbs in there. Nothing crazy. I think it's kind of funny, but maybe I've heard other chirps going on, but that seems to probably fuel some fans to do more. Have you noticed, like, has there been more unruly fans overall in general to a lot of players this year more than in other years?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, I've heard, actually, I was at the tournament. I was at the playoff on Sunday last week. I stayed after and was hanging out with some people. And, yeah, you could just hear it. It was some awful comments. But, you know, you don't usually hear that when you're inside the ropes. But, you know, people that are close to you on the outside, they don't know who, you know. It's amazing what you hear when you're walking outside versus inside.
Oh, yeah. So when you're walking amongst the crowd compared to when you're walking down the middle of the fairway, that's
correct.
You
know, yeah.
I would think, yeah. You
can hear the odd thing when it's real loud, but when you're inside, you can really, when you're on the outside, you can really notice what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Now, is it true, Danny, that when you're done the FedEx Tour, are you coming back to Canada and playing on the Canadian Tour yourself for a few tournaments?
That's a rumor that is very true.
Okay.
I am heading to, flying right from Atlanta to Saskatoon, and I am coming up there to play in the Elk Ridge Open.
Nice. Now, when was the last time you played in a tournament yourself?
Good question. Well, I did a qualifier a few months ago. I had a week off, so I'm like, why not? So ended up going to Tennessee to try a Korn Ferry Tour event qualifier. So that's basically the last competitive round. So, you know, it's my whole family's going to be there, and it's just going to be a great week to see everybody, introduce them to somebody very special to me, and yeah, it's going to be a great week.
You having caddied for as long as you have, now I remember when I talked to you a year and a half ago, you felt like, you know, you've learned a lot more about the game because you're still a young guy, you know, in life and definitely in the golf field. So do you think, are you better or can you only get better by playing in tournaments more frequently?
I mean, yes, if you're not around the game, you have to play golf. But I'm around the game at the highest level, so mentally I think I'm still pretty sharp. I know what to feel and, you know, what to expect, I guess. And now it's just, you know, I still work hard on my game when I have time, whether it's in the hotel room or hitting balls. I travel with my clubs. So, I mean, there's a golf club in my hand every day. It's just a matter of playing in tournaments, which, you know, I've done in the past. I've done okay coming out and playing. And, you know, that's just, I love to compete, and that's why I'm doing it. So I'm having fun at it. I don't need to make a living at it anymore, but I can enjoy it, and it's nice to be able to still be able to do it.
So who will be your caddy, and has your expectations of a caddy now that you've been one at the PGA Tour for a long time changed?
Well, this is a different experience. I'm the player caddy, and I'm having somebody that I love to be around come caddy for me. So my girlfriend's come to caddy for me, and that's what we're going to go do.
Oh, nice. How's her caddying skills?
Well, she's in the golf business, so she knows me, and I just I think
does
that's
she know your
really
temperament?
Need.
Does she know when you're going to get on tilt and how to calm you down?
Yeah, I think she knows a little bit, and obviously I should know what to do because I would tell Corey not to get upset, so I got to tell myself the same way. I got to caddy, play like I caddy, and I'll be okay.
Yeah, well, that's because I was going to ask, like, the relationship between you and Corey, because this is your first year with him, right? He sought you out after being with Vijay, and obviously you made the move, and it's been a good move for both of you, of course. But how has that relationship evolved during the year? And you know, because I think you really have to trust the caddy, and then you know, he has to trust your decision, because every now and then he's going to, hey, what do you think about this? And, like, have you become more vocal, or were you pretty much consistent right from the start, say, hey, this is how I caddy? I can't hold anything back to kind of feel out the relationship, or how does that build the caddy golfer relationship through a year?
Well, you know, like, I just been keeping it very simple. I've been you know, in the past I hang out a lot with the player. With when I worked for Mike Weir, I hung out with him a lot, and then BJ, we hung out a lot too. So, but this time I'm just kind of doing my own thing, and we go to the golf course, and, you know, we talk about, we're around each other a lot, so it's nice to be able to keep it, you know, at the golf course. We go for dinner once in a while, but I think that's just a nice relationship. He's very busy with his young, new, you know, life with his wife, and he got a baby expecting, so it's just nice to have our relationship at the golf course and leave it at that.
And understanding his personality, right? Like, to
correct,
know maybe when you have to say, hey, let's get it going, or, you know, I don't know, maybe closing the reins when you sense the frustration of a guy's coming out. Because I'm assuming golf, it's, you know, we see it with the best golfers in the world, that a bad hole, you don't want it to carry over. So how what are, like, the tricks that, because it's easy to say, hey, let it go. But how do you know if he's let it go or not before the next hole?
I just know how, who he is and how he's been. Like, if he hits a shot that it didn't come off right, or, you know, made a bad swing, he never asked me, what did I do wrong?
Okay.
You know, he's so accountable. He just hands me the club. We talk about it. I'm the optimistic guy. I bury him with positivity all day long. Okay. I said, if he hits one offline, we got a good angle from over there. You know, just something just to kind of forget about what just happened. So I've learned those kind of tricks over the years with, you know, working for Weirzy and Vijay as well. So it's just nice to, you know, I'm his biggest fan out there, as, you know, he needs to know that, and he does. So I'm complimenting him on shots. I'll even remind him something good where, hey, you know, if he has a tight shot, like 60 yards, which is an uncomfortable shot, and I tell him, man, that was great rhythm there. You just give him something positive that he can keep and remember that next time he's in that situation. So, you know, we do a good job that way. And as you can see, sometimes when he hasn't had great starts, we've always brought him back. So we've, like I said, just being optimistic and a lot of positivity, it goes a long way.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm saying. Like, he's had some rough starts on a round, and then all of a sudden he'll finish with three or four birdies in the last six holes, and he's right back at it. So that's been great. Yep. Well, Danny, good luck. Enjoy the playoffs, and then good luck enjoying getting back in the tournament to mold yourself on the course. It'll be good to see you again soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Gregor. Awesome. Thanks for having me.